Tommy, Oilers lose a game. I don't think they played awful by any stretch of the imagination, and I really wonder what could have happened if they would have scored on one of their early breakaways in that game and got a lead, first goal of the game anyway, for the first time on the four-game road trip.
Yeah, Greg, consider who got the breakaways too. McDavid and Drysdale, you know, the top two scorers in the league. So that could have kind of changed the momentum and tide of the game. Although I do think the Oilers did have a pretty good first period, but credit where credit is due. Honestly, I think Chicago, you know, they played a really solid home game, and it just seemed like every time the Oilers were trying to make a play or make a pass, it didn't matter if it was in the defensive zone, in the neutral zone, or the offensive zone. It always seemed like the Hawks were right on top of them, and they couldn't get any flow and momentum going. I mean, they still did create chances, and I think of even that play in the second period where Riley Sheahan sends in Josh Archibald in tight, in all alone. He tries to go high glove on Corey Crawford, misses the net entirely. Even that could have been a difference maker. So, you know, I know Mike Smith on the eventual game-winning goal kind of hesitated, wanted to play the puck and second-guessed himself and backed off, and Alex Nylander tucked it home. I still picked Mike Smith as my Oilers player of the game because I thought he had an outstanding game. He made 33 saves, and you got to give the guy some run support. That was one of the few games where the Oilers weren't able to get much going offensively, so I'm not blaming Mike Smith by any means, but yeah, missed opportunities last night, Greg. They come home 5-1. I think most people are pretty happy about that.
Oh, yeah, I would hope so. My goodness. If Oilers fans are criticizing a 5-1 start, they might be too critical. At the same time, though, the one obvious area of their game that has to improve, it might be the only one that's got a glaring weakness right now, is just the lack of production from their bottom six. They don't have a goal amongst the bottom six at 5-on-5. Nygaard's goal came at 4-on-4 with Haas, so they don't have any goals 5-on-5. And in fact, only two of their bottom six forwards have even been on the ice for a goal scored this season 5-on-5. So that's an area. And I did see some improvement, 10 shots combined from their bottom six forwards. That's the most of any game this season by a fair margin. So, you know, maybe that's a small sign that they're at least getting a little improvement there.
Yeah, and that's a question that kind of came up last night on the post-game show. By the way, we also had a couple of texts coming in at the inbox last night saying that here we go with the losing streak. So there are some Oilers fans out there who are a little bit pessimistic. But anyway, so I asked Matt Cassian yesterday, I'm like, is it appropriate now to be concerned about the lack of offensive production from whoever's been in the bottom six thus far this season? I know Chiasson and Archibald missed some time with that illness. Sheahan obviously was in concussion protocol. Good to have him back in the lineup. But you expect more from a guy like Jujhar Khaira as well. He hasn't been able to provide anything. And Matt kind of got fired up about it because he says he likes the way the bottom six, whatever combination of guys are playing in the bottom six, have been playing in terms of getting zone time offensively, grinding down defenses and all of that. But you know, I kind of brought it back and said, yeah, that is good, Matt, that they are pushing the pace a little bit. And that's something that the bottom six really hasn't been able to do since the 2016-17 team did it. But at some point, you got to get to the blue paint and you got to light that red lamp. And I just, you know, maybe it is time. The Oilers have seven guys who've scored goals this season. That's not enough, Greg. You know, you talked about it at length about depth scoring and all of that and how the Oilers need guys not named McDavid and Nugent Hopkins and Draisaitl to be providing the goals. And it's a breath of fresh air that James Neal's doing it as well as Zach Kassian. But at some point, Greg, they need those guys to start scoring. And, you know, I kind of touched on it and Matty got fired up. But they've got to score. It can't be those, you know, four or five guys doing it every night, although they seem to.
Well, anybody can go in stretches, right? James Neal isn't going to score eight goals in every six-game stretch over the season.
Right.
And so maybe it evens out. But my point is they can't just keep waiting. And, you know, it's six games. And I think it's worth noting. It's a lot of different players, though, from the bottom six last year. You look at guys, Haas, Patrick Russell, Nygaard, Sheahan, Archibald. None of these guys were here last year. So it's not like they're the same players carrying over, but it is the same issue from last season. And the longer it goes, I believe the bigger of an issue it is. And I did see some chances. You mentioned Archibald had a really good chance. Granlin got robbed in tight. So, you know, Chiasson had a really good opportunity. So at least they're starting to create some. But I think it's valid. Like, I'll agree with you more than I will on Matt. Like, yeah, he's right that sure they're getting offensive zone time. But George Larrack used to cycle the puck down behind the goal line all the time and never do anything with it. Like, after a while, it's that's great. But you got to get some production.
Exactly. And, if say this carries on to 10 games, that's an eighth of the season. That's a big chunk of time. Like, you need some of those guys to chip in. That's the one thing after the game that kind of stood out to me. And I know we're on the same page here, but it's like, okay, is it time now to start looking into that? I think it's completely valid as well.
Tom Gazzola joins us. The Pittsburgh Penguins, 14 goals in two games. Now they just lost another injured forward in McCann, one of the guys who was replacing Malkin. It's early and it's a few games, but he's kind of surprised that not only have they scored 14 goals, but it's not like Crosby's in on a lot of those goals. It's been a lot of their depth guys scoring.
This is incredible. I mean, in both games this weekend, they had 12 guys hit the score sheet each night in 7-2 wins over Winnipeg and a 7-4 win over Minnesota. And like, even Matt Murray got in on the score. He picked up an assist. But if I would have said to you before last week, who's Sam Lafferty and do you know much about him, Griggs, what would you tell me?
Yeah, not a whole bunch, my man.
Exactly. He had a huge weekend. He had 3 goals over the weekend. He had 5 points, man. Like, and then Zach Aston-Reese had a couple of multi-point nights. So this is a team, they've got, it's like the complete opposite of what we're seeing from the Oilers. They've got 13 guys who have goals, and it's, you know, we're seeing a lot of guys with twos and threes instead of zeros and ones under the goal total. So for them, especially considering they're missing their second line, they're missing Malkin, they're missing Rust, they're missing Bukestad and Galchenyuk, to be 4-2 at this point this season. I know you brought it up like a week and a half ago, but that's a pretty good start for the Pens. And the fact that, you know, I'm going to use this term really loosely here, but the no-name type guys that you, unless you follow this team or lived in an Eastern Conference city, you generally wouldn't know who they are in the hockey world, are providing this offense is something the Oilers sorely need. But for the Penguins, like, that's a total breath of fresh air. And to blow up for 14 goals in 2 games is always massive.
Oh, yeah, without question. And that's amazing. You get a lot of guys with confidence on your team, and suddenly that can change a lot of just how everybody feels about it. Now, to other news, young Edmontonian Alfonso Davy has been named to the 20-man shortlist for the European Golden Boy Award. You know, this youngster just keeps giving some pretty good accolades for him. Like, I'm not sure he's going to win it, but just even the fact that he's one of the finalists.
And this is the cool thing about this. Like, you saw what he did with the Whitecaps. You see how he's starting to integrate into Bayern Munich. He has scored a couple of times, but now he's getting that recognition on the international stage. Obviously, our Canadian men's soccer program needs a lot of work, and he's going to be a big part of the future. But it's really neat to see him having this success. Add to the fact that he's a local product. And the other local product that is really neat to see have success is Chuba Hubbard. I mean, amazing that these two kids, that Edmonton is producing world-class athletes outside of just traditional, you know, hockey. Because we all know what we can provide to the sporting world in hockey. I know we've had great Olympians over the years in other sports and in individual sports, but to see, you know, local products becoming stars, like, Kirk Herbstreit said that Chuba Hubbard might be the best college football player right now. His numbers are astronomical, but like, to me, Greg, I'm just, you know, as an Edmontonian, you're proud. And it's good to see these guys doing it on the international level and at the highest level possible. Hopefully Hubbard can do it at the NFL level. That's the really neat point for me to watch these guys do this. And you know what? You're right. Maybe Alfonso Davies won't win this Golden Boy Award, but the fact that he's starting to get this recognition from FIFA and the soccer world in general, it's a feather in his cap, honestly.
Oh, it's fantastic. And, you know, young Canadians, young Edmontonians specifically, getting in on a national sport level recognition is one thing, but getting it on a world stage and, you know, when you're considered one of the best athletes in NCAA college football, and then you're on the short list for the I just like the name of the award, number one.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, the European Golden Boy Award.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to be the Golden Boy? Right? Just reminds
exactly.
me of, Jerry Seinfeld. Like, you want to be the Golden Boy. That means you're going in on every shift. You're never taking a day off in the laundry. So it's fantastic. one final one for you, the Edmonton Eskimos.
Yep.
And Kilgore has done, serviceable job, fine. I don't see any way they can win a playoff game unless they get Trevor Harris back. What do you think?
I agree with you. I saw some tweets today that say that after the bye week, we could see Harris back. And I know Rashog was saying that if that game the other night against BC was a playoff game, it was possible Harris might get into it. But yeah, I guess Kilgore has been serviceable. He's picked up a couple wins as a starter. He hung in there last game. He didn't light it up by any means. I mean, less than 200 yards passing with a pick. I like Shaq Cooper. We talked about him a little bit last week. A little bit more panache than C.J. Gable. C.J. Gable is more of a heavy north-south guy. Ellington was big. But, Greg, honestly, like going into Montreal, the way that the Owls are playing and the way that the Eskimos have played recently, it's a pretty tall task to ask for the Eskimos to go in and beat the Alouettes, quite frankly. I'm just being honest and blunt about it, but who knows? If they get a couple of good games back-to-back against Saskatchewan and they build some momentum and refine their game, then that would be a breath of fresh air. But as of right now, I just don't see it happening. I'm glad they made the postseason. It's good for football fans here, but that's some tough sledding, honestly.
Tommy, we will chat with you tomorrow. Mikko Koskinen, and my prediction to start and goal. What's yours?
I'm going to go. I was thinking about this before we hopped on. I'm going to say Koskinen as well. It's just a feeling thing. And I know Dave Tippett plays off of feel. That's how he picks his starters. So why not give Koskinen the start? He was good last week, got it done. Give him another shot tomorrow night against the Flyers.
I know he said feeling lots. Part of me wonders if he had this whole plan, because Koskinen will start tonight, and I'm thinking he's going to start Friday. That means after 8 games, they'll each started 4 games, and each will have 2 at home and 2 on the road. So while it might be a feel, I think it was a feel that he outlined before the season began. That's just my hunch.
Hey, Dave Tippett's a sharp guy. I'll give him that.
Tommy, we'll chat with you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Greg.